WikiLeaks has released documents that show the Saudis and the Israelis have been trying to normalize their relations for more than a decade. The shocking revelations by the whistleblower website show that the Saudis have been pursuing a policy of rapprochement with the Israelis since 2002. But what appears to have been a scheme involving talk without evidence officially started in 2008. It was then, as WikiLeaks documents show, that the level of cooperation between Saudi Arabia and Israel started to go beyond merely providing vital intelligence. This is already providing fuel for a new wave of criticisms against Saudi Arabia.
This is just another revelation that Saudi Arabia and Israel have been working behind the scenes to strengthen their blood ties. They never forget, as so many authors have already written, Saudi Arabia has blood ties, has kinship, has a deep connection to Israel. So this is not representing the people of Saudi Arabia. This is the royal family exercising a betrayal on the deepest level. So I think this is going to be explosive when it comes out and becomes more thoroughly examined.
Revelations that the Saudis are trying to normalize ties with the Israelis could be specifically shocking news for the Palestinians. To the same effect, they would well explain why the Saudis have been silent toward the plight of the Palestinians under Israeli occupation. And now, the WikiLeaks revelations that show the Saudis have been trying to inch towards the Israelis could have already given the Palestinians the feeling that they have been backstabbed.
The Palestinian people have essentially been subjected to an apartheid existence, and Saudi Arabia has always claimed to champion the Palestinian cause and the Palestinian people. And we see now that is complete hypocrisy. They've not honored their word. In fact, they've betrayed their word. The royal family in Saudi Arabia have completely abandoned any truth and honor and honesty in those words standing up for the Palestinians, and instead they've been working behind the scenes with Israel to strengthen their own economic ties and political alliances, most likely for the purposes of pursuing aggressive action against Iran.
There have earlier been other indications that suggested the Saudis were already cooperating with the Israelis in certain crisis points. The most recent one was a report that Israel had provided military support to the Libyan strongman General Khalifa Haftar by attacking Daesh positions in the country. This was reportedly carried out after the Saudis asked the Israelis to do so. Other areas where these two are suspected to have been cooperating are Syria, Yemen, Iraq, and of course Iran. To the same effect, there have been reports that top intelligence chiefs of Israel and Saudi Arabia are cooperating to contain what they see as Iran's influence in the region.
Oh, the menacing defamers of Islam, the corrupt betrayers of Muhammad's teaching, peace be upon him, that's all coming from Saudi Arabia. And it is done in concert with the Israelis. And of course, the Israelis are providing the hospitals and the medical care to the ISIS mercenaries who are raping Christian and Yazidi women, who are beheading children. So Israel has blood on its hands. The Netanyahu, Likud government especially, in working with Saudi Arabia to push this ISIS Takfiri menace up into Syria, with of course ultimate designs in conquering Iraq and then infiltrating Iran.
The Saudis have recently adopted what many see as a hostile regional policy. But it appears that they are doing this by outsourcing a great deal of their plans to the Israelis. To the same degree, they are exposing themselves to huge risks, specifically when the day comes they realize they cannot see eye to eye with the Israelis. And that day will come sooner or later, because Israel has shown that its hostility towards Muslims is here to stay. Recent events involving Al-Aqsa compound are just one example of that. Thank you.
Tensions are mounting between the U.S. and Iraq's Popular Mobilization Units, PMU, amid accusations that Washington and its allies bombed the positions of the group in Anbar province near the Syria border. The PMU, also known by its Arabic name Hashd al-Shaabi, says it lost more than 40 of its fighters in the U.S. attack. A U.S. military official has denied this, calling the report inaccurate. The U.S. has previously criticized Hashd al-Shaabi on the grounds that it has good relations with Iran.
The United States and their geostrategic goals for the Middle East are well known. Right now, there's a burgeoning alliance which already exists, and it's only growing between the Syrian Arab Republic, Iraq, and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, this frightens America because they don't want three countries allied that can do things their own way, trade between each other, share intelligence among each other, fight terrorism and other security threats among each other. The U.S. doesn't want that because it's shutting America out of the most central regions of the Middle East.
Some observers in the Middle East suspect that there might be some coordination and cooperation within the U.S. to pressure Hashd al-Shaabi, which is seen by them as a hurdle to their schemes. The observers argue that the U.S. does not want the Iraqi Popular Forces to further overcome Daesh, and that attacks on Hashd al-Shaabi is meant to prop up the terror group. Daesh has provided a good pretext for the U.S. to maintain its presence in Iraq and the wider region. Before the rise of the group amid the conflict in Syria, the U.S. had become completely irrelevant. The Syria crisis itself has been described by many as a U.S.-Israeli plot to remap the Middle East by dividing the Arab country and neighboring Iraq, a scheme which is now in tatters.
In order to understand it from a broader perspective, you need to look at who are the countries that either directly arm and fund these horrible groups, or which countries stand to gain from the victory of these evil groups. We can also go a step further and say which countries have the same strategic goals. These groups want to overthrow the legitimate governments of Syria, of Iraq, of Iran, of Lebanon, and possibly even Egypt. We will see, for example, Daesh in the Sinai Peninsula.
Iraqis, including the government of Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi, hail Hashd al-Shaabi as a potent weapon in their arsenal for Iraq's war on terror. The Popular Forces of Iraq have so far dislodged Daesh from Mosul and many other strategic areas. Daesh is now on its last legs in the Arab country. What has angered the U.S. and its ally Saudi Arabia is the Iraqi unit's success in pushing Daesh out of large swaths of land running from northern and western Iraq to the Syria border. This is sufficient to prove the prowess of Hashd al-Shaabi, which is now a game changer in the fight against terrorists.
The Saudis are already trying to co-opt a lot of parts of the wider Iraqi opposition leadership. The cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has been essentially seduced by Saudi gold, so much so that now he's speaking out against President Assad in Syria, who's an ally of most of the Shia fighters in Iraq, most peace-loving Iraqis, and of course the Syrian government and the Iranian government.
In his recent meeting with Iraqi cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who is the de facto king of the Arab monarchy as well, tried to pressure the influential Iraqi figure into working toward helping dissolve Hashd al-Shaabi, a goal which seems doomed, given the group's indispensability to Iraq's national security.